Welcome to the May 2nd, 2018, Your Living Brand Live Show. Good morning. My name's Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. Now, what do? Well, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, I consult, I teach, and I speak on brand message, market, vision, and value. I want to be the storyteller of your brand. I want to help you speak in a meaningful way to your particular audience in ways that they'll listen to, they'll understand, and they'll engage with. Because if they understand what you do, if they see why you are different, why you're unique, why you can actually help them, you stop being a commodity. You start being a trusted partner. You stop being one of many, and you start being one of one. And isn't that what we all want? We want trusted partners that we can work with, that we know that when we have a problem, they can fix it. So let's work together to tell your story. And that's what this show is all about. This show is all about helping companies understand their value and telling their story of what they do that's unique, what's different. You know, why do people love them? This week, we have Christopher Duby on board from Simpatico Consulting. Now, Christopher is a great guy. He's a lot of fun to talk to. And I'm going to let him tell his story. So sit back, enjoy, and I'll be back. Chris, thank you very much for joining me on the show today. It is a pleasure having you here.
Thank you very much for having me, Ben. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey. Now, so you're coming to me from Boston, right?
I certainly am.
I love the East Coast. I mean, the dynamic out East is just phenomenal. I love the culture. I love the people. It's, you know, I love the food more than anything. You know, so there's so much going on in Boston. I haven't been there in years. But I think it's about time to go back.
Well, we're going to have you out then. Yeah, so you're around the city a little bit. I'm sure it's probably changed a lot since you've been here last. A ton of stuff going on.
Absolutely has. It's been way too many years. So it's, it's time for another tour. But let's get into the show. Sure. You know what? This show is all about why are you valuable and to who? You know, why do people care? What's your story? So let's get into the story, Chris. Tell me the story about Simpatico. Tell me about where you came from, where the name Simpatico came from, who your clients are, and you know what? What do you do for them, and what's the story you tell to gain people's attention and to keep that attention?
Sure. So inside of all of Simpatico Consulting, which is my consulting firm, or Leave Your Legacy, which is an initiative that I started on the back of Simpatico Consulting. Both of those things are a culmination of 30 some odd years of growing up in an entrepreneurial family. Mm-hmm. So my entire life, I was watching my parents as I was growing up go to work for themselves. And you don't understand when that's happening, really what that means, but you see how difficult it is to build something, but then when you get to that point and it's a success, how unbelievable it feels. Mm-hmm. So that experiential message or that learning process for me was ingrained inside me and runs through my veins today. So that at very core is who I am. I am an entrepreneur and
I get
Simpatico,
that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, this, it's the relationships, it's the people.
Yeah.
And you know, that is a culmination. Simpatico is a culmination of that. Simpatico is my third business. I started my first business when I was 21 years old and never had really had a real like adult job. I moved from the East Coast to the West Coast to Southern California. And I started my first business. And it was an opportunity to grow something that a colleague of my parents had got in contact with them and said, you know, what's Chris up to? Long story short, I was selling live Maine lobsters wholesale and retail in Southern California, right? So it's like a total commodity. Mm-hmm. How much does it cost? How fast can you get it to me? And why would I buy from you?
Right.
So I had no selling experience. I had no business experience. I was just like, I'm just going to wing this and see what happens.
But you had friends in the lobster business, right?
That's right. I had someone that owned a lobster pound. So I kind of had this thing where no matter how bad I was, I would still be able to get the product out. Right. So it was sort of like, just learn this and be good with the things that you know you're good at. So I like to connect with people. I like to communicate. And that's probably why I talk so much when I'm in business meetings or I'm in front of crowds speaking. But at the end of the day, I had a huge success and made a lot of money in a very short amount of time at a very young age, 21. So it's like I was the richest person I knew at the time.
Wow.
And so I said, you know what, I'll do this for a little while. And then I took the money and started my second venture. So first business at 21. No experience, and I'm having success and going, why are people freaking out about this business thing? It's too easy. Second venture is when it all, I 100% lucky, 100% lucky. Great product, and was just able to connect with people. That's where it came from.
And people on the West Coast wanted lobster and couldn't get it.
It was, it's one of those things where they're like, oh, you have access to that? And so one thing led to another, and then just, this is the time where they're like fax machines still. Faxes are coming in.
Yeah.
People are calling me. I didn't really have to do a whole lot except for ensure that they were happy, right? Mm-hmm. So from there, I was able to make that profit and then turn it into something that I really wanted to do, which was around music. So I started an entertainment company around live music events, DJ events, and have it move around to different venues. Mm-hmm. To not get into too many details, that took all the money that I'd made and then made it go away. So I had great success.
That was
success.
Your craps table, was it? You threw the dice and all of a sudden...
Let it ride on double zero. We'll see what happens. And then so that gave me the reality check where you don't know what you don't know. Yes, you can connect with people, but now it's time to take the things that you've learned and then apply them in real situations. So because I was completely broke, I brought myself back to the East Coast and started in the corporate world. So I started with sales and then marketing and then consulting on sales and marketing. And then I got into selling for large corporate companies and then being promoted to trainer, sales trainer, national corporate sales trainer, all these things that came into mentoring and teaching a lot of what had given me success when I first came back from having a huge failure. And so now here we are, 2015 to present. Simpatico was born, and Simpatico's entire mission is to take all that stuff that I went through, all those learning experiences, all those great things and all of those pit holes that you can fall into on a daily basis as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And help other people not have to go through all of that stuff. We want to give entrepreneurs and our clients clarity. That is our number one goal. Right. You can take all the information in the world, and people say how important information and data is. Yes, it is. But if someone throws a stack of a 500-page binder on the table and says, there's all the information you asked for, what are you going to do with that?
Right.
You have to have clarity on the context of that. Why is it being delivered? Mm-hmm. So what we do is we give entrepreneurs and visionary leaders clarity of the mindset, the message, and the motivation that they need in order to really achieve success. But in order to really achieve success, you have to dictate what that standard is. What does success mean?
Right.
So all of these things around the little details of owning and operating a business, either by yourself or the small team that's coming up, that's maybe less than 10 people, been around for less than 5 years. That's where I come in and people that I work with to make sure that they can go from being a day one business to a year five business to a year 10 business and so on and so forth.
Because there's a lot, let's face it, there's not a lot of year five businesses out there.
That's very true.
I mean, which is a horrible thing to say, but you know what? There's a lot of businesses out there that never make it to year five.
It's true. I mean, a large majority between year one and year five, they don't build in the agility and the flexibility and the true foundations of the business in the right way at the right time with the right people in order to continue to grow.
Right.
And that's my mission. Growing up in an entrepreneurial family, I saw my parents have to do that. And if you know how to do that and you're adept at that, you are a unicorn. You are something different than anyone else out there. It's really hard to handle all of the stuff inside of your daily business and then continue to pull yourself above to see the overall objective of what's being created from all of those activities.
Right.
So I am that ability to give you that perspective, to help build a plan of accountability, and to show progress day after week after month. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I'm not there anymore because you progress to a point where you don't need that. You need right. something else. So that is what drives me and kind of where I'm from. I hope I answered all of the things that you asked.
No, you did. And it's a great place to start the conversation because, you know, as you tell the story, what you're doing is you're showing the progression because, mm-hmm. you know, like you, like I, we both came from entrepreneurial parents. But that in itself is not enough. I mean, to come from an entrepreneurial DNA is not enough to succeed. And a lot of people think that, oh, my parents were entrepreneurs, I can be an entrepreneur.
Right.
Well, yeah, but the problem is there's success and there's failure. And there's things that you have to think about along the way. And probably what makes you who you are today and what makes you valuable today is as much the failures as it is the wins. Because it's how you deal with the failures and what you learn from the failures and how you move on from the failures that you learn far more from than you do from the wins. Because if everything is always easy, if everything is always going your way, you're not learning anything. You're not paying attention to where the pitfalls may be. You're not paying attention to where the holes could be. And
100% true.
That can walk with you and sit there and say, oh, there's a pothole. There's a deep hole. All right, there's a bunker. And be able to sit there and say, listen, I've been in that hole. I know the way out. And that's a valuable thing that a lot of people don't realize, that having somebody in your corner who can help you through those tough times and help you understand where those holes are before you step in them is huge.
You hit it on the head. I mean, there is, if I asked you to... explain to me what your experience of skydiving was like.
Yeah.
You could do that probably better than a lot of other people mm-hmm. because of, you know, you're in front of crowds, you speak, you're very clear when you communicate. But would that really give me a solid understanding of what it's like to jump out of a plane into?
No.
There's no way. So if I'm trying to get really good at skydiving, but I've never taken that jump, how am I ever going to be able to understand what could possibly go wrong or if I'm doing it right? Mm-hmm. And the little signs that happen before something needs to be taken, or little signs that happen when something's going badly so that you can correct it. That all comes with experience and going through it. And, you know, part of what it is that I do through Simpatico is the strategy behind leadership, because mm-hmm. leadership is a game of strategy and it is a game of planning.
Yes.
But there has to be something innate in there inside of you in how you speak. I call it resonant communication. So mm-hmm. resonant communication to me is communication that people can feel. And if you're talking to the wrong people, like if I have, we'll use the skydiving situation. If I have no interest in learning really how to skydive or what it's like, and I ask you, yeah, I could get some bits and pieces from it, but is it going to inspire me to take action on moving forward? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But if I am super pumped up about skydiving and I just haven't brought myself to jump out of that plane, but you have on, you know, several occasions, and I came to you and said, I really want you to share your experience with me about skydiving.
Right.
I would take more from that, because that communication to me is, I can feel that. I can envision it. It drives me to want more. Mm-hmm. And in a nutshell, it's a connectivity. It's connectivity between you and your experiences and me and my lack of experiences, or my experiences in a different way than you. If we can communicate those clearly and build a strategy around it, that's a great starting point for leadership, because that's what leaders have to do every single day. They have to ensure those reinforced communications and that connectivity right. continue to exist. And that's part of leadership and part of growing a business.
Well, it's so. Communicating vision. It's, you know, it's being able to sit there and tell people, you know what, you can trust me. you can trust me to be able to lead this organization, to lead the people, to be able to move us in the right direction so we're all going to succeed together. And that's
very, very true.
Is the trust is, you know, trust is huge in leadership.
It is. It is. It's probably one of the most important things that is lacking in a lot of situations where failure is either imminent or happening.
Yeah.
And it's a very ambiguous, nebulous word, trust, because it's a feeling. So what is a feeling?
Yeah.
What feeling do I get when we're talking about skydiving? I don't know. Right. Does that mean that I trust what you're telling me? Not necessarily, but at the end of the day, that's where I think some of the methodology that kind of sets me apart in the way that I coach is there's psychology to leadership. There's psychology to the way that I coach and consult with my clients.
Right.
The psychology of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs or several other psychologists that I won't get into to bore everyone to sleep on this, but I've created 6 basic needs, and it's a process of understanding yourself, understanding your employees, attracting, being able to attract people, mm-hmm. new talent to your business, but then also what your customers, your clients, and your people you're trying to get in front of need also.
Right.
And it starts with certainty. You know, certainty is number one, and certainty from a personal level would be like, today I'm getting up and I'm going to go do these actions in my life so that I can ensure certainty of my survival and my wife's survival and eating and breathing and all these things. But from a business perspective, that's the surety in believing in myself that I can do the things that are going to put me in the right place to give me the next need, which would be safety. So first we have certainty, then we have safety. So have you ever walked into a mall or something to get a shirt specifically, and you're met at the door with someone that greets you and says, "Hi, can I help you?" And you're like, "No." No, you can't. You can,
you don't trust
but me. I don't want you to.
Yeah.
Because there's no level of safety that has said, are you going to waste my time and try to sell me something else when I'm here for some specific item? Or right. I'm a little weirded out by you approaching me as I step 1 foot into your store. I just want a little space. Those are all safety things. And customers, clients have to deal with that. No matter if you're the best at what you do, there has to be a progression from certainty of, yes, I know that Ben Baker can help me with what I want, but is it safe for me to do business and communicate and connect with Ben Baker? If we have those two things checked, then it goes on to number 3, significance. What is the significance or the differentiating factor for me to be associated and communicate and connect with Ben Baker?
Right.
Because that's what all entrepreneurs, all business leaders are after, right? Mm-hmm. It's, if I could paint a picture.
It's your tribe. Or do people want to be part of your tribe?
Do they want to be part of your tribe, and do they understand what your tribe is when they have a million other people screaming about what their tribe is? How do you connect with them so that they can even hear you? If there was a room full of people and everyone started talking at once, trying to sell you on why to join their tribe, who are you going to pick and why? Mm-hmm. Maybe one of them stands up and holds up a sign that says, "You don't have to listen to the noise. Just come see me."
Right.
I mean, that would be a distinguishing factor, that significance piece that would make you and your story stand out, because then you could get their ear, even if it's just for a minute.
Yeah.
It's a minute that you didn't have before when you weren't differentiating yourself.
When you were one of the people screaming with everybody else.
Exactly. So once we go from certainty to safety to significance, we start to progress down away from ourselves and more towards how do we make this experience more enriching. So like the customer service piece, and that is in connection.
Right.
Connecting with people is hard. Specifically because you have to get past that significance piece, right? Yeah. You have to differentiate so they even listen to what you have to say. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, studies show that people have less of an attention span than a goldfish these days. A goldfish will give you 9 seconds. A human being will give you 8.
A squirrel.
Exactly. Shiny object syndrome constantly. Yeah. So how do you connect with them once you have their attention? So if you only know you have between 8 to 10 seconds, how are you going to connect with them that's going to be meaningful? That's where the communication piece comes in. Resonant communication, the ability to learn how to connect with someone, to communicate with them so that you're communicating for them and not for you, bridges the gap of connection. And that connection is things that have to do with you feel like you're part of the tribe now. Safety is the second need, but that's the first level of trust. Right. We're talking about trust. Once someone makes you feel safe, okay, I trust you. But then once you connect, once connection gets involved in step or phase four, that is the second level of trust, which secures trust in a brand, a face, a person, a product. Yep. If you get there, then you've won part of the game. It's up to you now to not do something that wrecks that trust. And that trust is built in connection, understanding them, communicating for them so that they can then get you to the level five, which is contribution. Now you're actually contributing something to them. This is all of the parts on social media where people like myself and you were contributing bits and pieces of information, experiences, stories, the things that make us over 18, 20, 30 years grinding and going through all these failures to say, don't do this, do this. And if you see this, it could mean this.
Right.
That is contributing something with expecting nothing in return. It's impact. Sure. Contribution is impact.
Absolutely.
So if you can get someone to connect with you and then you can contribute, whether they decide that this is the center of the target and you're my guy, or you're my gal or my company or whatever it is, and you can contribute something to them, whether they walk away or not, you've just given something and asked nothing in return.
Absolutely.
And by which leads that, to purpose.
Yeah. And by doing that, what you're doing is you're demonstrating value to them. You know, and that's the key
100%.
Thing. You can get people to understand what your value is to them. You've won.
You have one. And my question to you would be, you know, if people are questioning value and they're not taking that next step, there has to be some reinforcing factor.
Absolutely.
In all of this. And to me, that's phase number six, which is purpose. Mm-hmm. That is the determining factor, because that is a transcendence of all of the things that could possibly make this go wrong. You've gotten beyond that.
Right.
It is the ability to have connection, to give, to receive, to communicate, to foster results. And those results not only have monetary gains, but they have the ability to then grow and have multiple people inside of a transaction pull so many things away from it that now you have colleagues. Now you've created people that are not only in your tribe or part of your tribe, but then hear about it and want to learn more.
Yeah.
Getting purpose involved just leads back to the next level of going through the whole process again of once you hit purpose, then we're back to certainty. But they don't stay there as long. They don't have to decipher, is this something that I'm sure about going through with? Yep, we blow through that. I know it's safe because I've already done it before. So now we're right back at significance.
Absolutely.
We're right back at that differentiating factor with, you've helped me do it once. How do you help me do it again and again and again and again?
Right.
Well, that process will allow that.
That comes down to, you know, that whole period of trust. Once you've built up a level of trust, it's so much easier to get people to trust you to do something different. You know, it says, by the way, you know, I want to buy his book. Now I want to buy his seminar. Now I want to buy, you know, get him to speak at our conference. Now I want buy a different product and then something that's completely different. But yeah, I know that Chris is behind this and I trust Chris. And Chris has never let me down before. Well, I'll take a leap of faith and buy something from Chris that normally I wouldn't have because it's Chris. And we've already built that level of trust. And that's what a lot of people don't get in the world today, is that unless you build that layer of trust, unless you build that relationship, until people understand why you are valuable to them, then there isn't that simpatico. You're right. It comes down to the word simpatico. There isn't that way of getting them to understand that, you know what, I can go to Chris and he'll help me, because if he doesn't know the answer, he'll know somebody that does. That's where the true relationship is.
That is where you can start to use the word trusted advisor.
Absolutely.
Too many people, too many businesses use two words that really they grind on me. Number one is trusted advisor.
Yeah.
Number two is influencer. So those two words.
We were talking about that off air, weren't we?
We were. And I understand the process of using those and the reason why. What I don't understand is how right off the bat someone can be like, I am a trusted advisor.
Yeah.
Maybe you've earned that right, but in most cases, that is not the way things go, because people on average, consumers, clients, customers, don't trust you. That's why they don't continue to buy from you.
Yeah.
So what is the process that you use that is more than a process? It is a way to learn about yourself, how to communicate about yourself, how to keep yourself in line and accountable. Mm-hmm. Because once you do those things, that emanates out and customers and clients come looking for you. Apple is a perfect example. Apple doesn't go and say, we're going to build this because we want to show how amazing we make phones. Yes. They literally go and say, these are the core functionalities that our whole company is made up of. We are individuals. We are going to push the envelope of the functionality of this product because it makes people stand out and that's what they love. And we're going to ride that horse into the sunset.
Absolutely.
And so
that's why they're not known
as
Apple computers anymore.
Because
it's not.
They're known as innovation.
It's Apple is a lifestyle. It's an idea. It's like Nike. It's an ideology. It's a philosophy. It's a way of being.
It is
not an actual product itself. It's how you feel about the world around you when using their product or using their services.
That's right. And so, if you look at the way Apple has evolved from the very first days when it was Woz and Jobs in the garage, all the way through till today, the core principles have really never ever changed.
True.
And that is a way for them to give their clients certainty that what they're getting is not going to be different from year to year. Yes, maybe there may be some snafus from time to time because they're pushing the limits of what is actually capable.
But their customers forgive them for those snafus.
Because they have safety in the brand.
Absolutely.
Because the brand gives them significance.
Yeah.
Because the brand connects with them. Because the brand contributes to their life and gives everyone involved, including the brand, a purpose.
Yeah.
They hit all six of those basic needs of people as a flow chart to keep people coming back over and over. And every time they come back and they go through that process, it's quicker every single time. So they're just reinforcing, this is who we are, this is who we are, this is who. And you start to be, this is who I am too. That's how a tribe is formed. That's how you get a following. That is how you, and I don't like the word, but I'll use it, influence by being. Not by doing, but by being. That is what I try to bring to my clients every day.
As I tell my clients, this is, I'm not, you know, I don't define that I'm a trusted advisor. I don't define I'm an influencer. You do. If you
That's
believe
exactly right.
that I create influence, if you believe that I am a trusted advisor, then I am de facto for you. But for me to be able to say that comment on my own is arrogant. And, you know, it has no real meaning. You know, to me, it's your brand. Your brand is how other people perceive you when you're not in the room. That's what an influencer is. That's what a trust advisor is. It is part of your brand, and it's only determined by the people that are reflective on you. You know, you can't create light yourself. Your light is created by how you reflect in the mirror by the people that are looking at you.
Very true. Very true. And I think in a lot of aspects, because there are so many things going on inside of businesses on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis,
yeah.
A transactional, you start out with this success or what I would call a leadership mindset, and then it turns after either time or experiences or whatever happens to a transactional mindset.
Yeah.
So you're divining your success based on lists and what happens and next deal and deal progression,
right?
Where leaders really are the servants to why this is still an entity that serves other people with products or services. They get pulled away from that. My job, and really I feel like any advisor, consultant, or coach, their job is to have them maintain that course. This is your swim lane as a leader, as the leader of this entity. And that accountability is what defines success,
yeah,
between success of a company like Apple and success of a company like ? Fill whatever blank in you want there, because there aren't a whole lot of apples out there.
No, there aren't. So let me ask you two more quick questions, and I'm going to let
sure.
you. The first question is, I know you're writing a book. So give me a very quick synopsis, because I want to make sure that we get this in. You know, give me a quick synopsis about what the book is, what's going to be called, when it's going to be out, because I'm sure people are going to be interested in this.
Sure. So the book is around influence and the way that influence has become a verb inside of every business conversation that takes place on a daily basis. The name of the book is A New Age of Influence, Rise of the Human Resonance Catalyst. So people would say, wow, what does that mean? Not really sure. So there's some intrigue there. If you're intrigued, I've already accomplished one of my goals.
There you go.
Intrigue leads to the next thing. So the next thing would be understanding what influence is as opposed to resonance. Resonance to me should be the modifier to realign how we use influence. Mm-hmm. Resonance is a term that's inside of engineering. And essentially what it means is when something is moving or vibrating, it affects everything else around it. If you take right. tuning forks and they're next to each other and you just clang one of them, the second one will start to vibrate the exact same way mm-hmm. that first one did. That's what resonance is. People do have the ability to do that all the time with speaking, writing, marketing. That's how you see a Doritos commercial and go at some point during the day, man, I kind of want chips with lunch.
I'm hungry.
Yeah. So that is resonance.
Yeah.
People now call it influence, but what I'm talking about in my book is how to learn how to do that.
Right.
Because there are methods that you can possess the knowledge, but then there's actions and techniques that you have to hone in order to be able to speak with resonance. Well, I call them human resonance catalysts. People like gotcha. Martin Luther King, Tony Robbins, John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
You're around them once, you hear them speak, you don't just hear it, you feel it, and it changes your behavior. It changes the way that you perceive things and how you act on those perceptions, behaviors, and feelings. Mm-hmm. That is what the book is about, and it should be done, I would say, probably Q4 of this year.
Very cool.
Publish next year.
Well, I'm excited to hear to read it once it finally comes out.
Thank you.
Chris, let me leave you with one last question. And this is a question I ask everybody as they walk out the door. When you leave a room, when you leave a meeting, when you leave a stage, what's the one thing you want people to think about you and Simpatico Consulting when you're not in the room?
I want them to be left with the thought and the feeling of, are we doing everything we can to be the company that we started out to be? If I am speaking in front of a crowd or if I'm having a phone call and I get off the phone, my job is to challenge what it is that they're thinking, saying, and doing in order to progress their company to the next level. I have to understand their needs, and I want them to think that exact same way with their employees and their customers and their potential customers. All of that consciousness around how do we achieve success, that's what I want them to question. Right. It's a very infinite way of thinking, but it causes everyone to ask, am I doing everything that I can to be successful? And what is that? If you're always asking yourself that, you're always going to be pushing limits. You're always going to be innovating. And if you're always doing that, there's a potential for you to become Apple or Harley or these companies that's what they do. They always are asking, are we doing what we are? And are we communicating that in a way that other people understand and feel that? That's what I want people to leave with, that feeling, that mindset of, are we doing everything we can to be the best that we can? And if not, give me a call.
And that's a great place to stop. Chris, thank you very much for being on the show. Hang out in the green room. I'll be right back. And let me just say goodbye to everybody.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks for being part of the show. We really enjoyed having you there today. You know, Chris was a great guest, and I loved having him on the show. Now, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, I consult, I teach, and I speak on brand message, market vision, and value. I want to tell the story of your brand. Come work with us. We'd love to help you tell your story to the right audience in the right way so they want to do business with you. But you know what? Every Wednesday at 10 o'clock Pacific time, it's the YourLivingBrand.live show. We'd love to see you here. Come join us next.